Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil while we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives. Hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray, revive this earth.
Build your
kingdom here. Let the darkness show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land, set your church on fire, win this nation back, change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray. Your kingdom's power, reaching the near and far. No force of hell can stop your nearly changing heart. You made us for much more than this. Awake, the kingdom's seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. Church, we are the hope on earth. Build your kingdom here, let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire, win this nation back. Change the atmosphere.
Build your kingdom here.
Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land.
Set your church on fire.
Win this nation back.
Change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray.
And
I will call upon the Lord,
I will call upon the Lord,
who is worthy to be praised.
My rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted.
promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you.
Loves us so much. He sees you right where you're at, and he knows what you've been through, and he knows what you're going through. He has never left your side.
Holy, holy is he. flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery.
We do adore you and worship you and praise you, Father God. Lord, we humbly come before you this morning and surrender our hearts, our lives to you. It's a privilege to be before your throne this morning, to be at your feet. Lord, it's a blessing and a privilege to be able to lay life down before you and know that you are taking care of it all, that we don't have to stress or worry or be consumed by what we encounter day after day. Why? Because you're there with us, because you're leading us through, because your hand is upon us, because you comfort us and encourage us and see us and provide for us. God, your blessings are unending. Your grace and your mercy is just incredible. We stand in awe of you today. Lord, thank you for being with us this week. Thank you for going to work with us and going to the store with us and being with us as we talk to family. And for thank you, God, thank you for being with us and watching over us. Lord, I just pray that you would continue to work and move and speak. And Lord, make your presence known in this place. God, that you would change hearts and lives. That you would encourage. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we are going to dive right into Scripture. So open up to Mark if you want to follow along as we read. Mark chapter 15, starting at verse 21. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him, dividing up his clothes. They cast lots to see what they would get. In our quest to learn more about the other people surrounding the crucifixion, remember, Jesus obviously is front and center, but how many other people were a part of this whole weekend, this whole process of the crucifixion? So we are on this learning curve of diving into some of these other individuals. And this week we are, in fact, going to look at this guy by the name of Simon. Simon of Cyrene. Before we talk too much about him specifically or directly, I want to ask you a question. And this is going to come up later. You'll see how it all kind of ties together. But I want to ask you something. Have you ever noticed that in pretty much every picture or representation of the crucifixion that we ever see, we view it from the front? Almost always, it's viewed from the front. Maybe a little bit to the side, but for the most part, it's viewed from the front. Have you ever stopped to think for just a moment what it might look like if you walked around to the back? What would the back of the cross look like? What would you see if you were envisioning it from the other side than what we typically do? Well, let's think about that for just a moment before we dig into Simon this morning. See, Scripture tells us that Jesus was sentenced to both a scourging and to be crucified. Both of those things is what they punished him with, if you will. And I got to tell you, this is actually a very rare thing. If you look at crucifixion, I don't know if anybody's ever studied the cross as far as crucifixion itself is concerned. This was a very normal way for Rome to punish criminals, right? Jesus is not the only person that was ever crucified. Many, 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 many criminals in Roman times were crucified, but it was quite unusual for them to go through the punishment of the beating and the crucifixion together. Why is that? Because very few people would survive the scourging, the beating, the whipping that Jesus took before he went to the cross. See, Jesus was actually sentenced to both for you and I. He was sentenced to be whipped or scourged or beaten, however you want to see that. And just for a sake of a little bit of clarity, I don't want to go too deep. I don't want anybody to get nightmares by this description, but I think we need to understand what it meant for him to be scourged, to go through that. He was whipped, but this was not just an ordinary, normal Indiana Jones type whip. What this whip was, at the end, there would be all these little leather strands, and at the end of those letter strands were little shards of bone. It was meant to torture. That's what it was meant to do. With each whip, with each fling of that whip, it was meant to bring harm, hurt, punishment. In fact, it was such a violent thing. Jesus was sentenced to 39 lashings. And it was such a violent thing that at the end, his back would have been one big wound. You really wouldn't be able to see individual marks or individual beatings. You would just see his back as one big wound. If there was anything normal about crucifixion, and trust me, there isn't. There isn't anything normal about that. But if you could use that concept or say that there was something normal about it, what would be normal is for people to be crucified and be hanging there for days and days and days. That's how excruciating a crucifixion was. It took time. It was made to be a time of suffering. That was the whole point. That's why they did it to the criminals that they did it to. But we know from Scripture, we know from text, that Jesus died in a matter of hours. He was not up there for a very long period of time. Why is that? Well, probably because of the beating that he took just before he was crucified. His body went through so much in such a short period of time. Yes, he drew his last breath on the cross. Yes, we talk about him being crucified and taken down off the cross and placed in a tomb and raised again. But in one real sense, you can envision Jesus as being beat to death as well. That's how much he loved you. That's how much he loves me, all of us. He was willing to go through both aspects of torture so that we could be set free, so that we could be saved. When you talk about his love, when you talk about how much he loves you, remember that. I know it's hard to envision that sometimes. I've said this before. The Passion of the Christ was just an incredible, incredible movie. Some people can't watch that because it was so graphic. But it so brilliantly displayed what he suffered for you and I. What he went through so that we could be forgiven. So that his mercy could be poured out on us. And he did it willingly. That we could be saved. That we could be made whole. I would suggest from time to time, maybe just take a walk around to the back of the cross in your mind. Because there we can really remember everything that Jesus did for us. Everything that he went through. So that we could live free. Honestly, I don't want to dig deep in this. If we could describe the crucifixion and the scene, it's almost unspeakable as to everything that happened that day. We know because of that whipping, because of that scourging, that beating, Jesus ran into a problem between the beating and the cross. What was that problem? Carrying his cross. Now, I don't know how often we think about that, but the man was sentenced to be crucified, and not only was he about to die, but he had to carry his own cross, the very thing that was going to bring that punishment of death in his life. Talk about a mental and emotional game.
that played on people. Yes, Jesus was fully divine, fully God, but he was fully man as well. How many of you would be able to easily, willingly carry your instrument of death for a while? I can't imagine thinking about that or going through that. Jesus was sentenced and told that he was going to have to carry his own cross from the city to the place of the actual crucifixion. And he couldn't do it physically. He fell. He couldn't carry the weight. He couldn't handle it. Maybe it was because he was dealing with so much other pain in his body. And so it's at this point, when he drops that cross a couple of times, it's at this point that Simon of Cyrene is brought into the story. Or should I say dragged into the story. It wasn't his desire. Wasn't something he wanted to do. Wasn't something he planned on. But he was the one that was picked to carry the cross. In fact, Scripture tells us that Simon was just a passerby. He wasn't anybody special at that moment anyhow. He just happened to be coming into Jerusalem from the country. He's another one of these individuals we don't know a whole lot about. But the little bit we learn from him is very, very important and significant. For example, it tells us that Simon was from Cyrene. That's what it means, Simon of Cyrene. Cyrene was not his last name. That's where he was from. That's kind of how they told people apart before. You know, I'm Kurt of Batavia kind of thing, right? I mean, that's how they would identify individuals. So he was from Cyrene. This was actually an African city on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, a region today that we call Libya. That gives you an idea of roughly where he was, where he lived. We also know from history and from study and looking into this that at this point in time, that area had a huge Jewish community. There was an incredible amount of Jews that lived in that area. So Simon very likely still lived there and was making the pilgrimage to Jerusalem for a very specific reason. That was Passover. It was that time of year that people gathered together in the holy city to celebrate Passover together. So he likely was making a 1,500-mile journey from Cyrene to Jerusalem so that he could participate in Passover. Now, stop for just 1 second and think about what that means. He did not get on Expedia. He did not book a ticket on United Airlines. He was not able to take an Uber to the airport. Think about what it meant to make that 1,500-mile journey for him. That was a huge commitment. It was a huge deal. It's not as simple as it would be for you and I to do something like that today. This was a goal for a vast majority of Jewish people that lived outside of the Holy Land. They wanted to be back in Jerusalem for the Passover. If there was any way they could do it, if they could be there for that celebration, they wanted to make their way to this city because this was the culmination of the year's events, to be a part of this incredible Passover celebration. So Simon and his family made this long journey to get there, to be a part of it. But as they're entering in or making their way into the city, he encounters the procession of death. Ever think about it that way before? Jesus had to walk from the city to the skull or Golgotha. And it was basically a death procession was what it was. He was walking to his death. And here, as Jesus and the guard and all of them are walking out of the city, Simon is trying to get in to the city. Before he can even think about what's going on, before he can even absorb what is happening, before his mind even registers all the events that are taking place, a Roman soldier grabs him and says, "You are carrying the cross because Christ can't do it himself." Oof. That was not on his itinerary. That was not a part of his sightseeing plan for being in Jerusalem. A Roman soldier grabbed him and said, "You," didn't even know his name, "you are carrying the cross. It's your job from here on out to get this thing up the hill." This would have been absolutely devastating for Simon. I don't know that we ever think about that. We read through Scripture and we go, "Oh, the poor guy, he had to carry the cross, okay." This would have been devastating. This would have been a horrific event for him. Not only would it have been a blow to his dignity, here he is not associated with these criminals in any way, and he's being forced to carry someone's cross. It's being demanded upon him by one of the Roman soldiers. So it would have been certainly a blow to him personally. But what's worse is because he was forced to handle that cross, which was being used as an instrument of death, that meant Simon would have been declared ritually unclean. And because he was now ritually unclean, he would have been prohibited from engaging in any of the ceremonies surrounding the celebration of Passover. 1,500 miles to be pulled out, forced into a situation he didn't want to do, and just completely destroyed everything he thought he was coming to partake in. Everything he thought he was coming to do. Everything he was excited about. Imagine the years he planned to make this journey. The time that he thought about, "One day I'm going to go to Jerusalem for Passover." And here it is, now he's able to live out his dream. But he hasn't even gotten into the city yet. And now he's declared ritually unclean. Can't do anything that he wanted to do. 1,500 miles negated. Put away. In despair and humiliation, he carried that cross. And he made his way up along what we often refer to as the Via Dolorosa, or the Way of Sorrows, making his way all the way up to Golgotha, the place of the execution. But there's a couple of details about what happened with Simon, what he saw, what he went through, that again, often we just skip right past. Let's look at a couple more specifics today. I'm going to read another verse, this one from Luke, and it kind of describes this situation again. Luke 23:26. "As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and they put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus." What did we just talk about? Behind Jesus. Behind the cross. What did Simon see as he's making that march from Jerusalem to Golgotha, looking at the back of Jesus? What was in front of him to take in? How do you think that affected his life or changed him? He was not in the city when the beating occurred. He's just now seeing this for the first time. What do you think went through his mind? How do you think that affected him? Let's take it another step further. Folks, this was no accident that Simon arrived at the moment that he arrived. If he'd have been making his way to the city 5 minutes earlier or 5 minutes later, he wouldn't have even seen the procession of death heading out to Golgotha. He likely would have been no part of it at all whatsoever. None of this would have happened to him. But that's not the way it was written. That's not the way it was planned. Amen. Simon was there by divine appointment. Simon was there because it is exactly what God had planned, when God planned it, how God planned it, for the purpose and the reason that God planned it. Well, God may have worked in Simon's mind saying, hey, wouldn't it be cool to go to Jerusalem and be part of the Passover? Simon would have said, yeah, that's cool, let's plan it, let's go, and he'd have been on his way. But God said, I got a bigger purpose for you, man. You're not just going to be a part of the Passover celebration, you're going to be a part of the Passover. The real Passover. The one that counts. Going forward, right? God chose Simon for that very job, for that very purpose, for that very moment, for that very spot in history. It's no accident. Why is it no accident? Because God is in control. God is in control. He scripts these divine appointments into our lives as well. Simon's not the only one that God's ever done that for. He's done it for you. He's done it for me. He's done it for countless people. You know, we forget as we go through our daily routine and our daily emotions and just do the things we're so accustomed to doing. We forget that the Holy Spirit is leading us and directing us and guiding us and bringing us to certain places at certain times. And if we're not paying attention, if our eyes aren't open, if we're not in tune, we could completely miss why we're there. What God had planned for us. We could miss that. We forget that the one who made us has our days all written down, all numbered, all planned out for us. He knows our agenda. He knows what is best for us, what is right for us. Just as much as he knew that for Simon. And the fact that he wanted Simon there at that moment for that time. It's amazing what God does and how he does it. I can't help but thinking over and over about Simon's 1,500-mile journey and all that was going through his mind right up to that moment. But something happened when that soldier grabbed him and said, you're going to take the cross. You're going to carry it. I'm choosing you, so to speak. Something happened at that moment. What happened? Simon encountered Jesus Christ. Likely for the first time. Likely the first time he ever saw, met, thought about Jesus. He might have heard about a Messiah, but he may not have known everything that was going on. This was his encounter with the Savior. Simon's life was being changed from that moment on by that divine appointment in that particular time. Going forward, his life was going to be different. See, here's the other thing we tend to miss when we think about Simon or that part of the account of the cross, is that any time our will meets God's will, there's going to be a cross. There's going to be a cross. It was Simon's will to travel to Jerusalem to be a part of the Passover. It was God's will that Simon encountered that procession leading out to the crucifixion. It was God's will that Simon carried the cross. And where Simon's will and God's will met, there was a cross. There was a cross. Whenever you and I learn to yield our will to God's will, there's a cross. Think about that for a minute. You know, it might be our great desire to achieve wonderful things in this life. It might be our desire to find fame or wealth or strength or power or success. But you know what God says all about that? He says, nail that stuff to the cross. It's our desire to find fame and fortune and do all these wonderful things. And you know what God says? He says, deny yourself and carry my son's cross. That's what he tells us. Where there's an intersection and our will is surrendered to God's will, there's a cross of some sort. The Word tells us to carry our cross, to follow him, to surrender our lives. When Simon's big plan came to an end and God intervened, Simon picked up his cross and followed Christ all the way to that crucifixion, all the way to that designed spot. When our will is finally subject to God's will, God says, pick up the cross and follow me. And I'll take you all the way to the end. I'll lead you all the way to the end. When Simon carried that cross, Simon was changed. He was changed. And you know, in Scripture, we read a handful of times throughout Scripture, when the head of the house was changed, the whole house was changed. When the dad or the husband came to know Christ, the whole family came to know Christ. Right? We read that in Scripture. We see that in Scripture. And I don't think it's any different for Simon and his family. Why do I say that? Well, let's look at what Scripture says. We read in Mark, a certain man from Cyrene, Simon, and now get this part, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Now, why is that in Scripture? What in the world does that matter? Why do I care? Folks, if something's in Scripture, it's there for a reason. And it's important. So what do Alexander and Rufus have to do with anything? And why is it spelled out here when they're talking about Simon and the cross? Later in Scripture, we find out that Alexander and Rufus actually became very visible, important leaders in the Christian church, in the first early church. They were predominant. Their lives, their influence, who they were, mattered to the church. And all Mark had to do was mention their names, and people knew who they were talking about. People knew who these individuals were, their lineage, where they came from, what their story was. That's how influential the names of people were as we read throughout Christian history. If you look at the very last chapter in Romans, Paul simply writes, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been like a mother to me as well." Again, the names are mentioned for a reason, for a purpose. They bring clarity to a whole situation. Paul called out Simon's son, and everybody knew who he was talking about. Everyone knew the backstory. Everyone knew what was going on when Paul or anybody else brought up those particular names, because they were known by the church. It would appear that Simon of Cyrene carried the cross of Christ, encountering Christ for perhaps the very first time, walked behind Jesus all the way up to his crucifixion spot, and was significantly changed for the rest of his entire life. He was a whole new man. He was completely different, and not just him, but likely all of his family as well. So now think about that incredible event. Simon left his home, all that traveling, all that ways. I get to be a part of the Passover. I get to celebrate Passover in the holy city. How awesome is this going to be? And God said, "I got something even better in store for you. I got something even better. It may not seem like it at first, but wait till I'm done. Because you're never going to experience something like this as long as you live. It's going to be absolutely breathtaking what you are about to experience, what you are about to be a part of." You know, when he left his home in Cyrene, I bet he never, ever, ever thought that anybody ever would be talking about him 2,000 years later. But you never expected his name to be written down on pages that would last for thousands of years. No one would ever think about what he saw that day when he carried that cross and followed his Savior, when he was an eyewitness to the pain and the suffering and everything that Jesus took, not just for him, but for anyone who has ever lived. See, I believe in that moment, Simon came to faith in Jesus Christ. Simon saw the sacrifice. Simon saw his Savior. And he put his trust in Jesus. And he told his whole family about it. And obviously, his family changed. And 2,000 years later, you and I talk about him. 2,000 years later, we think about what he experienced, what he went through, what that might have been like for him. Because his name was mentioned a couple of times in that whole thing we call Scripture. Isn't that amazing to think about? If you ever, and from time to time we all go through this, folks, don't fool yourselves. As we walk in our Christian faith, there are times we question our salvation. There are times we struggle with God's unconditional love, with His grace and His mercy. There's times we wonder why He would do that for us. It's at those times I encourage you to walk around to the back of the cross and to realize just how far He went for you and I. When you read text that says, pick up your cross and follow me, from this day forward, I hope you think of Simon. I hope you think about his vision and what he saw and the tremendous agony he experienced that Christ willingly went through that we might be saved. I think as a believer, far too often we normalize the cross. Oh yeah, Jesus died there. Yeah, they took him down. Yeah, he rose again. Well, it's all good. That's what I believe. And we stop and think about for a minute what that really means. It's not just some cute ornament on a wall. Or some beautiful piece of jewelry we can wear around our neck. It's not some smooth little plank of wood that is, you know, soft to the touch. Jesus suffered, so that we didn't have to. He died so that we could live. He took a beating so that we could be healed and made whole and set free. The cross isn't just something to wave at when you walk by. The cross isn't some fun ornament to hang up. Don't misunderstand. Those things are all fine and well. There's no issue with them. But it's much more than just that. The cross is life to you and I. Suffering to Jesus, but life and love and mercy and grace so that we could be in this room today. So that we could read His Word today. So that we could absorb all of this today. The next time you think about things not going as you planned, think about Simon. Think about the journey and the destination and everything that he had planned and what God had planned. And while it may have seemed rough at one point, what God allowed Simon to experience was far better than anything Simon would have experienced that weekend on his own. Far better. We all have to make a choice in life. Every single person that's ever lived has had to make a choice in life. You're either going to accept Christ and what He's done for you, or by virtue of not accepting Him, you're rejecting Him. There's no in between. There's no third party. You either accept what Christ has done, or if you don't, you're rejecting Him. Folks, Christ went through way too much for us to not accept Him. He did it for you. He did it for me. Simon played one little role, one little piece in this whole story. But oh, what it would be like to see things from Simon's perspective. Lord, I pray that you would help us to do just that, to really take to heart and understand what you went through for us. You didn't do it so that we could pursue our own desires or go our own way or live life the way we want to. You did it because you were making a way for us to reconcile with the Father. You did it because you love us. You did it because you wanted to be with us, guiding us, leading us, teaching us, encouraging us, helping us to live according to your plan and purpose. And ultimately, so that we could be with you for eternity. Lord, help us to really grasp that today. Help us to consider that these next few weeks as we're leading up to Resurrection Sunday, as we're leading up to this celebration. God, help us to remember what it's truly all about. And how that one little encounter can change a life forever. Lord, help us to surrender to you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is my desire. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake.
have your way in us. Lord God, we're thankful for what you have done, Lord, taking on all the burdens and the sin of this world. God, just as Simon helped you carry that cross, Lord, we are so thankful that you are here to carry us, Lord Jesus. God, help us to serve you and honor you, to give glory to you in this day and the days to follow you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We commit all that we have unto you.